Lord is ready to pour out his spirit, not just in this church and this congregation, but all over the world. All over the world right now, people are hurting, and you see signs of evil, devastation everywhere. But I come to you this morning, and I want you to know that there is a God that can heal. There's a God that can deliver. There's a God that can save. There's a God whose power is greater than all the rules and the force of any police station, any police equipment, any army, any economic power, any ungodly power, anything. Everything is subjected to him. And I come to you this morning in his name. I come to you this morning and I speak the word of God, because this word of God that happened on this day many thousands of years ago was predicted. It was in the Bible. I come to you this morning because I bring this message, because this is the message that the Lord has given me to give to you this morning. And the message this morning is that we need another Pentecost. And I say to you, let's do it again, because we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you can, for a moment, just close your eyes, and I just want to pray. And I ask you to pray with me that the power of the Holy Spirit touches your heart today. It touches your mind, and you receive the message today. You receive the goal that that God has set out for us, that Jesus Christ has outlined for us in his mighty name. So, Father, as we come to you this morning in your mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we always give you praise and we thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing right now, Lord, and what you're going to do. Father, we come to you in a world that's hurting and needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. They need to hear a message of a risen Savior, of a message of a healer, a deliverer, a comforter. A message, Lord, that anything in any situation that we go through, that we can go through it through the power of the Holy Spirit, realizing we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, this day we bless those that are listening right now. We bless those that will listen in the future. We bless those, Father, whose ears can hear the message that you have, Lord, that can hear your words. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that I decrease so you can increase. So we bless your name and we magnify you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you will, imagine that you were in a church building, in a church service this morning somewhere. And all of a sudden, papers start flying all over the place. Plants were being turned over and the wind was howling and everybody didn't know what was going on. That there was this sound, a mighty rushing wind sound coming throughout the place. That's exactly what happened many years ago on this Pentecost Sunday. I know it sounds strange, but this did take place. Pentecost means 50th, and it refers to the Jewish feast that was held 50 days after the second day of Passover. It is called the week of feast and the feast of the harvest. Isn't it amazing that it is called the feast of the harvest? The Father has written in his word that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Pentecost was a day of thanksgiving to mark the end of grain harvest, a holy Sabbath day. Two loaves of bread made from new wheat, two yearlings, young lambs, were brought before the Lord as a thank offering. People would be praising God for his grace and giving them a good harvest. Many and most people were expected to attend this feast and were expected and required to give a free will offering to the Lord. But let's look at what has happened before we get to this 50th day. We know that our Lord had already been crucified. We know that our Lord had been risen. So there was a risen Savior. We know because the scripture said, after his suffering, in Acts, the first chapter, verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a 40-day period and spoke about the kingdom of God. So there we have the appearances of our risen Savior for 40 days after he rose. The words of John the Baptist were fulfilled. In Matthew 3 and 11, it is written, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We look in Acts, there were instructions that was given by our risen Savior. He said to them, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I just need to stop right there for a minute. Because many times in scripture, when Jesus was given a directive to the disciples, they always wanted to know, well, is it going to happen now? Now is the time. But Jesus has always told the disciples to exercise patience. And here again, in the next scripture, Jesus says to exercise patience. But not only does he tell them to exercise patience, listen to what he says. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When God tells us to be patient, there's a reason that he tells us to be patient. He says, but wait until you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, they had the Holy Spirit already. It already resided with them. But they had not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the power that they needed. I'll give you an example. A company will authorize you to have a credit card. You can walk around with that credit card all you want, But you can't use that credit card until it has been activated. So the disciples had the Holy Spirit credit card, but the Holy Spirit credit card had not been activated until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. He also was telling them, don't rely on human power. You see, sometimes we like to jump the gun when we say, when we're told that we have power, when we're told that we've been given something. So he's saying, you can't go out there and be the witnesses I want you to be, that I taught you to be, that you need to be, because you're going to be relying on your own power, which is human power. He says, wait for spiritual power. You see, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you have spiritual power. When you have that spiritual power, then you have that miracle working power. Then you have the power that is inherent in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was with them for 40 days. Hallelujah. Isn't it remarkable that it's the same 40 days that he was in the wilderness? For these 40 days, the disciples were still in the Holy Spirit wilderness. After he left, another 10 days went by before the day of Pentecost. You see, the disciples, they were not strangers to the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. They saw the Holy Spirit work continually in the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. The disciples experienced something about the power of the Holy Spirit as they continued to step out and serve God. The disciples heard Jesus promise a new coming work of the Holy Spirit. The disciples now heard for them to wait for the promise. Amen. It's always easy. We like to think in terms of a couple of days. Maybe the disciples thought that in 3 days, you know, he was crucified, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. Maybe on the third day, we're going to get that Holy Spirit promise. It didn't happen. Maybe all we have to do is wait a week, maybe 7 days. Seven, the number of completion. Maybe 7 days. We'll wait 7 days and then we're going to have it. But they had to wait a full 10 days until the day of Pentecost had come. Why? I have no idea. The only scriptural reference I can make to it is Jeremiah 42 and 7, when it says, 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. But what happened in those 10 days after Jesus was taken back up to heaven? God used that time to break them down and to build them up. He used that time to give them patience, show them kindness and compassion. Because all of that 10 days, all of those facets of their lives were being tested. And no matter how many times they were tested, they all stayed together. Hallelujah. I kind of think of right now during this season that we're in, our patience is being tested. Our kindness is being tested. Our compassion is being tested. During this time, are we all staying together as the disciples? Many people like to say, oh, God is doing a new thing. I don't say what God is doing, but a lot of people want to say God is doing something. He's showing us this and he's showing us that. Well, if he's showing you that and he's showing you this, is your patience increasing? Is your kindness increasing? Is your compassion increasing? This is what this passage tells us about the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is promised to each and every one of us. The gift of the Holy Spirit is waiting for us, and it's worth waiting for. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes when it's ready to come. We cannot anticipate a time when the Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit is given as God continues to deal with flesh, and we have to deny self. So on this Pentecost, I say, let's do it again. Because on that Pentecost, the church would never ever be the same. The world and the church would change forever. I say to you today, church will never be the same. The world and the church during this season are being changed forever. But on that Pentecost, some amazing things took place. I know people like to say, oh, well, Peter preached and over 3,000 were saved. Well, let me break something down to you so you maybe it'll give some clearer understanding of what was going on. Because when the Bible says that they all were together, it was not just the 12 disciples. There were approximately 120 disciples in that place where they were praying. They were in the upper room, but 3,000 people could not fit into an upper room. So as there were others around to celebrate the feast that were going on at the time, when they heard the noise and when they heard the commotion, it drew their attention. Everybody had to stop and say, well, what is going on there? And what are those languages that these people are speaking? What is that noise? Where is that wind coming from? So God instrumented a way, and he presented a scenario that made it possible that when the Holy Spirit came in, others would hear, and they would also be drawn to what was going on. So when I say that we need to have another Pentecost, we need to have noise. We need to be in prayer. We need to be doing things that will draw those that can hear to see what's going on. Because, you know, when there's a fight going on, there's a lot of commotion. And people are drawn to commotion. And people are drawn to noise. And we got to make a loud noise unto the Lord. So we will draw those curious people there. People with curiosity. So they'll hear the word of the Lord. It's time to do it again. What is Pentecost? He said, but you shall receive power. Pentecost was the birth of the church as we know it today. Pentecost was the end of the Old Testament law. It was concluded and it was the beginning of a new era. The day of Pentecost signs follow those which follow the Holy Spirit. As Jesus has predicted, those who believe would speak in new tongues. In Mark 16 and 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name." Oh, let me stop right there. Jesus spoke about people speaking in tongues. He says they're going to cast out devils. But you just can't cast out devils. I wish I could. But he says, in my name, in his name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. This is a supernatural ability that was unknown to them at that time. You see, Jesus had quietly broke down some things to the disciples. And over the course of time, he gave it to them piecemeal. If you go and you remember, if you go back to when he came down from the mountain of transfiguration, that the disciples were trying to get rid of a demon. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And Jesus was approached by the crowd. And they wanted to know what could be done. And they said, "Well, Jesus, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, but we couldn't get rid of this demon." And he let them know at that time, some requires more work. Not only do you have to pray, but you have to fast. That was a nugget. But now he turns around again and he gives them another one. And he says to them, "They will cast out demons in my name." So not only do you have to pray, not only do you have to fast, but you have to recognize the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Back then, you couldn't do it in the name of Jesus because Jesus had not died and rose again. But once Jesus died and rose again, in the name of Jesus, the one that conquered death, the one that conquered everything that we know on this earth, then now in the name of Jesus, we can cast out the demons. On the day of Pentecost, the first converts to the Christian church came. You see, when Peter delivered the message, the curious people, some thought that these were people that were drunk with wine. Some just wanted to know what was going on. But Peter broke it down to them and said, "You know, the name of Jesus Christ, the Christ that you guys killed, the one that you hung on the cross, the one that was buried, he rose again. And therefore, because he rose and we are baptized with the Spirit, if you believe in him, you can be baptized too. You must repent and be baptized." As I said, the Lord set it up that 3,000 people would convert it that day. Because the scripture says, "Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day there was about 3,000 souls added to them." We might not have a day where we can bring in 3,000 converts. We might not be able to have that same kind of overall repentance on one day. But there were certain things that they did on that day that we can do. Because we can still move in the power of the Holy Spirit today. Amen? Because if we look at what happened on that day, the scripture says that there were characteristics that happened on that day that we must have today moving forward. Because I believe that we have an assignment to do now, clearer, more so than ever before. We need to create an atmosphere like the one that existed in the church on that day. One of the characteristics in that church, it says they were on one accord. That word, one accord, that means that they were of one mind. I haven't given too many ouch sessions since I've been preaching without you here. But it's time for an ouch session. An ouch. We come to church with too many mindsets. We got to come to church with one accord. We got to come to church with one mind. We got to come to church to serve Jesus. Now, I'm going to change it. We got to come to the building with one mindset, because we are the church. So when we all, the church, come together with one mindset, when we come in the building, the noise will be created that those on the outside are going to want to know what's going on the inside. Because those people, those 3,000s, they were not in the upper room. They were around the upper room. They were around somewhere, maybe in the courtyard of the temple, but they were not in the upper room. Listen, everybody might not be right here in this building, but we'll open the doors of the building so they can hear us. We'll go outside of the building so they can hear us. We'll walk around the territory, the community, so they can hear us. It's time to get together on one accord, because it was one accord, one mindset that they had. Those early disciples, they were united in the desire to seek the face of the Lord. Unity was the calling card of the church. If we want the Lord's presence and power today, then we're going to have to walk together in unity. It's time for another Pentecost. We need to have a move of God today, like the early church enjoyed in those days. Let me show some of the ways that they were united. They were united in purpose. They waited on the Lord together. They waited on the Lord together. Philippians 1 and 27, we are told to strive together. That means to work together. We are a team. We must work as athletes. We have to work together as a team. I'm reminded of so many teams that have so many great players, but they can never win because they were never united. You know, I might not be the best preacher. I might not be the best teacher. Somebody might not be the best singer. Somebody might not be the best prayer. Somebody might not be the best cook, whatever it is. But when we unite our forces together, we become unmovable. We become a force to be reckoned with. We all got different functions. I don't need the deacon to be the pastor. I don't need the pastor to be the deacon. I don't need the deacon to be the administrator. I don't need the administrator to be the secretary. I don't need the drummer to be the organ player. I don't need the organ player to be the drummer. We all have different gifts. We all have different assignments. I don't need the usher to be the prayer warrior. Work together as a team. We all have a different responsibility. Those in those days, they were united in purpose. We all got different ideas about what should be done, what could be done. But we need to follow leadership as to what is going to be done. We got to break out of our little huddles and stand together. Because I want you to know today that Satan is a divider. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. Another thing that those disciples did is that they were united in prayer. The Bible says that they prayed together. They prayed with and prayed for one another. Nothing builds more unity in the church than praying together, than carrying one another's burdens to the Lord in prayer. There's a bond that develops between people who pray together. When we pray for others, you take the focus off of yourself and take the focus off your own problems, and you get united with somebody else to pray together, to lift the burden off of someone that's going through something that might be greater than what it is that you're going through. This is not to minimize what it is that you're going through, because each one of us can take different things or the same thing at different levels. But I say whatever level it is that you're going through, God knows the level you can take. He knows the burden you can bear. Now, I didn't really want to bring up another ouch moment, but it's been in my spirit, so I got to do it. We've been on this prayer line for weeks. We'd pray on Tuesday nights. We'd come together, we pray on Wednesday nights. We pray noonday on Friday. And some of you have never been on the prayer line. Some of you have never been on the prayer line. Some of you have been on the prayer line when you wanted us to pray for you. But you never got on the prayer line to pray for somebody else. In order for us to move forward as a church, we have to get together by whatever means necessary and pray for one another. So I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but my job is to tell the truth. And I'm telling the truth, whether you like it or not. So when we come back together, and I know that you have not been united with us in prayer, there's some repentance that needs to be done. Don't come running around, jumping up and down, speaking in tongues until repentance is done. Because you got the answer before him, not me. But the Bible clearly states that to be united in prayer, we pull down the power of the Holy Spirit. We break stronghold. We break curses. We break all of those things. We've been praying, First Lady and the people that's been on the prayer line, we've been praying for all of you, regardless of whether you've been on or not. But it's time for you to come up and step up to the plate in prayer with us. Repent. I don't know how you can speak in tongues and run around here and you have not been praying together with us. This is your church. We supposed to be united people in this church. We want power. We pray for power. Power don't happen without unity. Power happens when we're all together, united. That's how when the Holy Ghost came, 3,000 were saved on that day because they were united in prayer. And as they got united in prayer, then became united in power. The scripture says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It didn't leave nobody out. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is an equal opportunity blesser. It is an equal opportunity enabler. It enables the pastor. It enables each and every saint that will sit out in the pew. Because when you have the Holy Spirit and it resides in you, you know what? You will call the pastor and you will tell him how the Holy Spirit, you prayed to the Holy Spirit and it comforted you, and so forth and so on happened. Because the Holy Spirit is not just a comforter to the pastor. It is a comforter to all. They were united in power because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The unity of the early church came about because they were all right with God. That's why I said there's got to be some repentance, because you got to get right to God. I don't care what you do. You could listen to all of these things in the world going on, but you got to get right with God. You got to get right with God. Because when you are right with God, this is what's going to happen. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they all preach the same message. In order for us to preach the same message, we all got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They believed in the same things. How can you all have unity together when you believe in one thing and this person believes in something else? The Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? They carry the same burdens. Too many times our saints are burdened down, but we don't want to get bothered. But when we get burdened down, we want everybody to be and concern for us. That's why I'm telling you right now that if you have not been on that prayer line, you have not been carrying the burdens of your saints, your fellow saints, your fellow brothers and sisters. They love the same thing. One of the things that happens, and I understand this, no matter what stage of development, no matter where you at, this is going to happen. You see, some of us are in different stages of spiritual development. Some of us are saved and immature. Some of us are saved and growing. Some of us are saved and spirit-filled. Some of us ain't even saved. Ouch. Sorry. But today, I got to tell it like it is. Some of us are not even saved. And this kind of diversity makes it difficult for us to move forward in power the way that we're supposed to move in power. I know that we're not going to never get rid of all of the diversity in the building. Notice I said in the building, not in the church, but in the building. But you see, God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, because when we're filled with the Spirit, that means you're controlled by the Spirit. You see, when He controls me and He controls you, that means we'll be able to walk together in unity for His power and for His glory. When we're filled with the Spirit, they were united. When the disciples were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it says they were all filled and began to speak. You see, I don't know where in the Bible Jesus commanded people to sit. If you are filled with the Spirit, you can't sit. But I find that there's so many people sitting. God didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Jesus said, go Go. Go is an action word. It is a verb. Go. He didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. And anything that God has given you to do, it's not unimportant. I'm going to go back to today. And I'm going to say, when we look at the world the way it is today, there's a commercial where a young man is speaking and he's working in the supermarket. And he says, you know, we just came to work every day. And you see him putting boxes on the shelf. We just came, we used to just come to work every day. But we didn't know we were essential. But now they tell us that we're essential. There's no job, when you looked at that person and you looked at them before, you thought those were menial tasks. You thought that that was not a very important job that that person was doing. And I know that there's some people out there that look down on people that did stuff like that. But now you're calling them essential. Listen, when we come back in this building, you know the person that cleans the church that you pay no attention to? That you probably don't even know who does it. You're going to start looking at them like they're very essential. You want to know who wiped that door handle down. You're going to want to know who cleaned that bathroom out. You're going to want to know who wiped down that church chair. You're going to want to know who took out the garbage. But see, Christ always said, there's no work in the kingdom that is too little. There's no big I's and little U's. Each task that we do is vital to the success of this church. Our prayers and our prayer warriors are more essential than necessary than ever before. I know that some of you sit down, but you're going to have to start standing up. The prayer line has revealed that we got more prayer warriors than we even acknowledged. When we come back to the building, you're going to have to stand and be counted for what it is that God has given you that assignment to do. God has called some of us to be witnesses, not just in Judea, Samaria, but all over the world. You're witnessing right now on your job because I know that you're leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus right now as you got to work with people with COVID, as you have to deal with their families, as you have to deal with doctors and nurses, as you have to deal with the people that take the garbage out, that clean the rooms and clean the floors. You're relying on Jesus, and right now, right where you're at, you got to be more of a witness than you ever been before. And even though you didn't want to be a witness, people came to you so you could witness to them. God has already revealed that that place that you're at, you have to be a witness. Some of us have been working harder than we've ever worked before, not just in our homes and in our jobs, but around the church, being good stewards of the things that God has given us stewardship over. Some of us have to be better cleaners. Some of us have to clean more. Maybe if you never thought about cleaning the church before, maybe now's the time to clean. Now let me give another ouch moment. You see, when God is good to you and he blesses you, your payment ain't necessarily money. I'm going to say that again. Because you perform a function for God, he does not have to pay you in money. So why are you looking at the church to pay you in money? If you have food on your table, God has blessed you. We run a pantry. People don't have food. If you have food on your table, God has blessed you. If you have a roof over your head, God has blessed you. If you had COVID, or you know a family member that did, and they recovered, God has blessed you. So when we come back to be this team for a church, to get this building together, please know that God has blessed you. And the more you bless him, the more he's going to bless you. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you doing all that he asks you to do? We need another Pentecost. It's time for us to come back and start getting it together. Just like Jesus says, for no one knows the time, the day, the time. We don't know when Christ is coming back. We don't know when this world is going to end. We don't know. You don't know when your assignment is going to be over. It's time for many of us to stop doing church. And I say doing church, coming to the building, doing church. It's time for us to stop doing that. It's time for Pentecost again. The prophet Joel declares, in the last days, it will be. God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's time for Pentecost to come again before the day of the Lord comes. It's time for us to stop playing church. It's time for us to get ready. It's time for us to get ready. It's time for us that have assignments, that we know that we have assignments, to get serious about our assignments. Because you can see that as you're playing church, people are dying. People are dying all over this world. Chaos is happening. The world is turning upside down, and we're playing church. It's time for us to stop. I call out to you, I assign to you today to check your assignment, to check your heart, to check whether or not you're where you're supposed to be with the Lord. This message is not just for those who don't know the Lord. This is for everybody who claims to know the Lord. This is for everybody. This is not just for you, but it's for me too. It's for First Lady too. It's for everybody that has a title on down. Because the day of the Lord, the title is going to mean nothing. What you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're not going to hear, well done, my good and faithful bishop. You're not going to hear, well done, my good and faithful deacon. You're not going to hear my well done, my good and faithful pastor. You're not going to hear well done, my good and faithful pianist. You're not going to hear well done, my good and faithful soloist, my good and faithful choir. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It is a singular word. It's not plural. It's a person, a servant. It's an activity. It's a duty, a servant. There's a requirement to that word, servant. There's an action that the servant performs. Jesus has given us that action. He has given us servants the word. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. I ask you, are you being a servant of the Most High? That's a question that you have to ask yourself moving forward. May God bless you today on this Pentecost Sunday. May you realize that if you don't have baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you can receive it. Realize today if you're not saved, you can receive repentance today. You can receive salvation today. Today is your day of salvation. So wherever you're at, if you don't know the Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer and you can receive him into your life. And in this prayer, I'm also going to include a prayer for those who need baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, as we come to you this morning, we give you praise and we give you honor. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for sending your son who died on the cross, who was buried and rose again on the third day. And it's because of him we can have our everlasting life. So, Father, I am a sinner saved by grace. Father, I've sinned and I ask you, Lord, to receive, to forgive me for all that I have done. And Father, because I realize and I accept those three things, that you died, that you were buried, that you rose, and I believe it in my heart and I receive it in my heart today, Lord, that today I am saved and I am in your family, the family of Christ. And Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that they will reach out and seek your face while it might be found. I pray, Lord, because they can pray and pray and pray. But, Father, to pray with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit means, Lord, that we can cast out those demonic spirits. It means that when we walk in that spirit-filled life, Lord, that the demons can see us coming and know, Lord, that they can't fight against us, Lord, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, because the demon is in the world today, Lord. But Father, we need that Holy Spirit. We need you in us right now. So when we walk, demons are being cast out. That when we talk, demons are being spoken to, that people can receive the blessings and the anointing, Lord, because you are walking with us and through us. So, Father, we bless those right now who need the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we bless your name and we magnify it, Lord, because this, Lord, is something that we as servants that we need to do, that we need to go after you, Lord, like the woman with the issue of blood, to reach out. do all kind of arts, Lord, to touch the hem of your garment, to receive that power, Lord, that you have blessed us with. So we bless your name today, Father. We magnify it, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name.